is The Fantasy Show with Shoali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Shoali, Matt Marchese here alongside you for Week 14. For many, it is win, and you are into the fantasy playoffs. Lose and go home. For others, you're working towards securing maybe a first-round bye. For still more, you're already thinking about your keepers for 2023. But whatever your situation might be, we appreciate you listening this snowy morning here in downtown Toronto. Send us your fantasy questions at 590-590 on the People's Text Line. Name and location, please. We will get to all of them on the air at the start of the second hour. Mr. Marchese, first of all, glad to be with you again. I figure I should say this now. 2 weeks from today, it will be the morning of Christmas Day, and we will not be on the air because in Week 16, the NFL has moved its schedule primarily to Christmas Eve. There are only three games on the Sunday in Week 16 and the regular one on the Monday night, which is Boxing Day for us Canadians. But the bulk of the Week 16 games, because they're on the Saturday, I think it's a pretty regular slate of games on December 24th. So the fantasy show itself will actually be from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the Saturday morning on Christmas Eve. So I guess just a very quick programming note that for everyone in a few weeks. We'll remind everyone next week as well. But in case you are planning to send some texts in Week 16 during the fantasy playoffs, I just want to remind everyone that because of the strange schedule, we won't be on Sunday, it'll be on Saturday. I'm not sure about you, actually, but for me, it actually works out a little better because the bulk of my family programming is usually on Christmas Eve, so that works out well for me.
Yeah, and you know what the scariest thing about all of that is, Sho, is that Christmas is in 2 weeks. Like, where did 2022 go? I know we say that every year, but I feel like the older we get, the faster this time goes, which is frightening, but yeah, like for my family, we go to we have Christmas Eve with my wife's family.
Okay.
So both sides of that family, so it's a big event. And then Christmas Day is usually quieter with my side of the family. Like we have Christmas Day usually with my grandmother, my brother, his girlfriend, and then of course like my family, my mom and dad, whatever. So very quiet. But yeah, I do love this time of the year for multiple reasons. One, we get into the fantasy football playoffs. Two, actually, they should probably be in the reverse order. Christmas probably should be number one, but fantasy football playoffs. But, Sho, I will say this. Much like it is scary that you say that Christmas is in 2 weeks, we're almost at the end of fantasy football. And that, to me, like, there's always that massive buildup with training camp, like OTAs training camp, and then the preseason. And then it feels like it just, like, you're going down this downward trajectory. It's like, oh, yeah, this is great. Oh, no, this sucks. Oh, my God, we're almost at the end. Oh, this is horrible. And that's where we're at right now.
It's true. Like, including today, there are basically, what, 4 weeks left of the fantasy season. Like, just generally speaking. I know for some people it might be a little bit more because I think weeks – some people, you know, I like to say friends don't let friends play fantasy playoffs in Week 18. And I before the elongated schedule, I said that about Week 17. But here we are. But, yeah, I am very happy the – I'm happy 2022 is over because I'm looking forward to what the new year will bring. And it means we're also one step closer to getting the Blue Jays back because I can't wait for some baseball. But at the same time, yeah, it does always mean that the calendar for fantasy football closes up real quick after all the prep work you do. Man, it's such a bummer to see the season come to an end. But I am looking forward to taking everyone's texts and any questions and so on the People's Text Line. Certainly today and over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, just a reminder that on the 24th, we will be on the air on the Saturday, the Sunday. I don't believe there's any programming on the Sunday because everyone will be hanging out with their fam. Real quick, have you done your Christmas shopping here so far? Are you done? Have you started?
Well, I've started and finished okay, only because my wife basically told me what she wanted.
Okay.
So that was pretty simple. But now with the little one, you don't spend on each other anymore, right? Like we kind of tailed that off over the last few years because, you know, you get a house, you get this, you get that, whatever. But now it's like, oh, what should we get for our daughter? And it's like, well, she's going to be like 4 months when Christmas rolls around. So probably not much, but she'll get something. And yeah, honestly, the whole Christmas shopping thing, man, it's the worst, especially when you're given no indication of what the other person wants, which is my wife to a T. I don't know if yours is like that, show, but it is the worst thing ever when they give you no hints. And then I say, what do you want for Christmas? I say, oh, I don't know. You figure it out. You always get me good gifts. Oh, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Some real pressure there. My goodness.
Always, man.
It's funny. But this year, actually, my family is doing I'm still going to get my wife a single gift from me, but we're doing like a secret Santa with my brother, my sister, my parents, and the two of us. So this is the first time we're doing it. So I'm looking forward to doing it. My brother doesn't listen to this show, so I can say that I got him as Secret Santa this year.
Day he listened is going to be today. Well, you know that, right?
Well, see, the way for him, he goes to bed. He's like me, actually. He goes to bed at like 5 a.m. and then wakes up like when it's like dark outside, essentially. So I have no fear. Maybe my parents are listening, but I feel like my brother is there's like a pretty much a 0% chance. This show is early, and it has to do with fantasy football, two things that he has zero interest in being associated with. So I think we're okay. But here we are. We are here in week 14 as we look forward to the fantasy playoffs. I said to you actually last week that I needed to win, and I was in to a fantasy playoff scenario where week 14 actually are the wild card games. I did win that. Actually, my team ended up being the highest scoring team of the week. So I won quite easily, despite the fact that after the 1 o'clock games, like most of my guys played at, I think at 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock or on the Monday night. And one of the only guys the other team had was the Cleveland defense. And the Cleveland defense, I don't know what everyone's various scoring is, but in my league, the Cleveland defense finished with 31 points. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I can't believe the 1 week I desperately needed a win, I went up against the Cleveland defense. Luckily, I made it. Mr. Marchese, what are your fantasy needs today as we approach the fantasy playoffs for many?
Well, I need a win in our work league today. Okay. Over former colleague Josh Goldberg, who we are fighting neck and neck to get into the playoffs. So I have a chance, I believe, to move as high as fifth or sixth from eighth with a good week. And I think that I'm on track this week. The other league that I'm in, I've already qualified for the playoffs, but I do not want to play. I'm currently in seventh. I do not want to play first or second, so I need a win. And I don't think I can finish lower than seventh. But I think I can finish as high as fifth. So I want to get out of that lower part of the playoff bracket. That league in particular, show, and you will appreciate this, because I am a Buffalo Bills fan, so it is so poetic. I have been in the league. This is my fourth year. I took over a team, whatever, is a three-keeper league.
Same.
I have made the fantasy final in each and every year, and I have not won one. I had heartbreaking losses. Like last year, I lost. You remember, it was the final week and the Vikings were playing, I don't even know who. And I had Dalvin Cook, and the guy I was playing had Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson made like an 8-yard catch, which ended up killing me. It was on a drive where the Vikings were down by like 20 points with a minute left, and all the starters were in there, and Dalvin Cook got pulled after the first play. So Justin Jefferson's like 8-yard catch absolutely buried me, and I lost by like, I don't know, 0.8 points or something.
Fantasy heartbreak, Marchese. That's the
worst. The worst.
You know, it's almost like a little bit worse when it's like Christmas. It's going to be like Christmas Day when you're doing, you're waiting to see things and you're like opening presents with the family. And then you look at your fantasy score and you're kind of like, I wish I hadn't looked at my phone. I think that's, I don't know about you, but like what I do, and I'm curious what other people do on this. Like I'm curious, because I know a lot of people sit on the couch kind of and just refresh their phone and are constantly just like pulling it down and seeing the little spinning wheel, and then you see the update happen like in real time. And I know like many of my good friends literally do that every single week. They just refresh while they're watching the games, like while they have Red Zone on, while they're watching whatever team they want to be watching. They are just constantly refreshing, even though they're watching it like live. They're refreshing it to see like a yard by yard update. Essentially, my rule of thumb, and I think this has made my life much better when it comes to fantasy football. My rule of thumb is once the games start, unless I have I'm waiting for a lineup decision later on in the day, but if my lineup is set come 1 o'clock Eastern, I generally don't even look at my phone. Like, I don't even look at my phone until, like, the first snap of Sunday Night Football. Obviously, if there, again, if there's, like, a player decision that needs to be made, then, of course, I'm in there and looking at things based on the, you know, based on Twitter and based on inactive lists that come out and so on, like, half an hour before the game starts. But let's just say I don't have anything going on that day and I know who I'm starting. I don't even look at my phone until Sunday night starts, which is probably why you or other people don't hear from me until the first snap of Sunday Night Football.
Man, I'm telling you, I don't know how you do that. That is, you are, show Ali, you are a better man than I, because my phone is going, I'm like, what I used to do, and I don't do it anymore, just because when you have a child that's very young, it's not, you don't necessarily get to sit the whole time.
That's true.
Which is almost every Sunday. What I used to do was I had two TVs set up and my laptop. So I was watching games on three different screens. The Bills go up on the big screen, and then the other games that I can flip through go on the other screens. And then I would have my phone for the other games that I couldn't watch because I needed to follow things. What, generally speaking, I don't actually look at the fantasy scores, but I look at the stats, which is ridiculous because why do I need to know what everybody else is doing? Just look at the scores of the guys that I have playing.
Yeah.
It's a weird quirk that I have. But I don't do that anymore. I follow a lot on my phone because I only have one TV going. I know, first world problems. And generally, if the Bills are playing in the 1 o'clock game or 4 o'clock game or whatever, they're on that TV and that screen does not move. So I will follow other things with my phone. I'll watch. My wife will look at me and go, are you watching another game on your phone? I'm like, yes, you need to stop asking that question because you know the answer. It's the same thing every week. Yes, I am watching another game. And you're lucky that I don't have another screen going to watch another. Yeah, she hates Sundays and she hates football season.
You should ask. I remember I had this conversation with George, like George Rusick, of course, and he's going to be on Inside the Lines after us. But I remember George always talks about how he has like Red Zone on one TV, and then he has like two or three other TVs that have each of the other games he wants to watch. That by the time like the mid-afternoon slate comes around, he just has all four games going simultaneously on each TV, which is honestly sounds like he's living the dream. I hope he took those TVs with him to Calgary so he can continue to enjoy doing that. Hey, you want to weigh in on what we're talking about, or you want to shoot us a fantasy start sit question, please do so at 590-590, name and location on the People's text line. We will answer as many questions as possible at the top of the second hour of this program, and then if we don't get to all of your questions on the air, we will answer all of them off the air once we are finished here at around 10 a.m. Eastern. But Matt, let's start with the Thursday nighter, actually. Then we'll take a quick break and we'll get into all the start sits. But the Rams winning this game in the most improbable fashion, 17-16 on Thursday. Baker Mayfield going 22 of 35 for 230 yards and a TD. Cam Akers rushing in a TD as well. We'll get to Cam Akers in a sec because you know I was cheering for a very specific outcome with Cam Akers on Thursday night. But Baker Mayfield, like that ending of the game, I said this to our pal Andy McNamara. I was texting with him because he's a big Baker Mayfield fan. But that has got to be one of the most improbable endings to a game. Honestly, maybe that I have ever seen in my life. Not because you haven't seen like game-ending dimes in the touchdown in the end zone before. Not because of that. We've seen a lot of that, and we'll see a lot more of those. Maybe even this season, and certainly going forward. But just for a quarterback who joined his new team 2 days prior to the game, didn't start the game, and then came back in and then just threw the ball 35 times, including some absolutely ridiculous passes on the final drive. I mean, that has got to be one of the most unlikely, improbable endings to a game maybe I've ever seen.
And, you know, just like we all predicted, right? Like Baker Mayfield. Yeah, Baker Mayfield is going to beat the Raiders, who are still vying for a playoff spot. Like, of course he is. And by the way, could the broadcast have made any more references to the fact that Baker Mayfield had joined his team like 2 days prior? Like, we
what
got
else did
it,
you
guys.
Want Michaels to talk about? He was probably, I honestly, at one point, I kind of thought he was going to be like, I'm out. Good luck, everyone. It wasn't a great game.
I was hoping that Al Michaels would bring up the spread, which he normally does to really throw shade at people. But yeah, no, it was absolutely improbable. And why did John Wolford start again? Does anybody know the reason why he played one series and then we're like, oh, we're good? Because what I thought was going to honestly happen, Show, I thought we were going to see all three quarterbacks and they were going to rotate every series.
Oh,
as if
man.
That was some brilliant That'd coaching
be
sick. Move.
I'd be so, oh, I'd, my be, God. I'd be so here for that.
That would be the ultimate troll job. Not that any, but not for fantasy for football purposes, but for gambling purposes, that would have been the ultimate troll job. But listen, Baker Mayfield played well. He didn't start off very well, but he played well as the game progressed. He didn't have much to throw to. Like, I mean, you look, Allen Robinson's out. Cooper Kupp is out. Like, their running game is so strange. That offensive line has been horrible all season. And him and Van Jefferson ended up having a good relationship, which ended up that Van Jefferson had a really good fantasy day. I doubt anybody had any faith in starting him. But if you did, it certainly worked out for you. I do wonder, like, this is an audition for Baker Mayfield, not only for the rest of the NFL, but specifically for the LA Rams. Like, there is a chance, and I don't know how great or how little it is, but there's a chance that Matthew Stafford is not playing football anymore. Like, that spinal injury apparently might be career threatening. And for Baker Mayfield, maybe Sean McVay can unlock Baker Mayfield. Like, I know that the success hasn't, you know, they won the Super Bowl last year, and I get that. But this season has been kind of weird, and it's all the injuries, and it hasn't gone well for the LA Rams. They don't have draft capital because they don't believe in drafting, apparently, and or at least not in the first three rounds or two rounds. But this, Baker Mayfield is going to end up probably being the starter the rest of the way here, and this is an audition for him. So for dynasty purposes, I'd be curious to see how this all ends up, and who knows if Matthew Stafford is done, maybe Baker Mayfield ends up being the quarterback of the LA Rams going forward, which is such a bizarre thing to think about, but maybe Sean McVay is the key to unlocking him right now.
I'll say this, at least fantasy purposes, redraft, dynasty, whatever, the next four games for the Rams are Rams Packers on the 19th, which is a Monday nighter, on Christmas Day. One of the few games actually happening on the 25th is Broncos Rams. Rams Chargers on the 1st, which is New Year's Day, of course, and then on the January 8th, it's Rams at Seahawks. So I would say, at least for Rams Packers Broncos Rams, you probably don't want to start Baker Mayfield. But I mean, Rams Chargers, Rams Seahawks, I mean, I don't know how many people want to necessarily have faith in Baker Mayfield as a fantasy asset in what would be your championship final. But I mean, you know, injuries have forced us to play different and stranger players. I remember my fantasy season last year hinged on like Dare Agubanwale and like Braxton Berrios. So I think, if Baker Mayfield probably fits into that same category. But yeah, 22 of 35, 230 yards passing and the touchdown, no turnovers. Ben Skoronek had 7 catches and 89 yards. How much do you have to, how much more of that do you need to see in terms of target share, receptions, et cetera, for Skoronek before you're like, okay, I'm going to roster this guy and maybe even start him?
Well, he operates out of the slot, generally speaking, and that has been, in with Cooper Kupp being out, he's occupied much of that that role. I mean, for redraft, I'm not really into Ben Skoronek, but as a dynasty stash, I think it's probably worth it. Like, when we look at his target share over the last, like, he had 8 targets this past week, but then it was 3, 4, 4, and 7. But he hasn't eclipsed 30 yards until this week. He hadn't eclipsed it in the last 3, 4, 5 games. So I'm not quite there with Ben Skoronek, but as a player who is, you know, former Notre Dame guy, let's not forget that. He's a 7th round pick, but he's not old. Like, he's 25. And that could be a guy that you stash at the bottom of your bench and then kind of see what happens. Like, they spent a lot of money on Allen Robinson. It hasn't really worked out to this point. Is Baker Mayfield going to unlock Allen Robinson Matthew Stafford's out? Probably not. But I don't know. Maybe Allen Robinson can have breakfast with Baker Mayfield. I don't know.
Maybe he should.
But Ben Skoronek, as a bottom of the bench stash in deep dynasty leagues, he should probably be rostered.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, look, for a redraft at the very least, if we see against the Packers another, like, 5 to 6 catch performance and you're approaching 50 yards, then you know what? That's flex territory in half or full PPR leagues, right? So I would just monitor that over the next week. And maybe, even if you have the bench space now, maybe it's worth picking him up. But I know Yahoo leagues do allow you to kind of churn the bottom of your roster for players who didn't start, like guys who are on your bench. You can like drop guys if you need to, if they didn't start in your active lineup. So just to keep that in mind. But yeah, Ben Skoronek, I thought was an interesting little maybe if you're looking to get some help in the not too distant future. And yeah, like I mentioned, Cam Akers, 12 carries, 42 yards and a touchdown. He did lose a fumble as well. He had one reception for 1 yard down near the goal line as well. I only mentioned Cam Akers because I started him purely out of desperation with a number of teams on bye this week. And he was basically at, I think, like either negative points or like 1 point for much of the game until the second last drive of the game, and he scored a TD, and that completely bailed me out. So Cam Akers, thank you. The Raiders defense, thank you as well for allowing it. Did Cam Akers break the plane on that touchdown? Honestly, probably not, but they counted it, and for fantasy purposes, it counts all the same. Real quick, Matt, on the Raiders side of things, I mean, Derek Carr was abysmal. He threw the ball 20 times. He had 11 completions, 137 yards, no touchdowns, and 2 picks. So he was absolutely awful. Yeah, I think he had around like 2.5 points, depending on your league settings, but he was absolutely terrible. Josh Jacobs, as good as you might imagine, 27 carries, 99 yards in the air. He had a rushing touchdown as well. He had 2 catches for 15 yards. So a very good outing from Josh Jacobs, but that's pretty much it. Like no one else on this roster really had a positive day. Davante Adams, three receptions for 71 yards, no touchdowns is not going to lose you your week. But considering he had no catches in the second half of this entire ball game, I mean, I don't know what Josh McDaniels was doing. I don't know if they were trying to just run out the clock of the entire second half up like 10 points or whatever, but it was a lot of question marks for me there. But Davante Adams was probably the biggest one as far as the Raiders go.
Can we fire Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels into the sun, please?
You like firing people into the sun, eh? Is Arthur Smith into the sun? Josh McDaniels into the sun?
Show. Is there anywhere further that I can fire them? Cause you can fire them there too. Like get them off of planet Earth, because Davante Adams had 7 targets in that game. I think in the previous 5, he had double-digit targets. It's Davante Adams. And I'm not rostering Davante Adams anywhere. I wish that I did, although this week I don't wish that upon anybody, especially because people are vying for playoff spots and whatnot. But you paid a pretty significant draft capital to have Davante Adams on your roster, and it's kind of been an up and down year for Davante Adams. Like he's had more dud weeks than we saw him have with Green Bay the last 5 years, it feels like, or 4 years, this season with the Raiders. Like it's been such I don't want to call it abysmal, but it's been a weird year for Davante Adams. And a lot of that is on the quarterback play of Derek Carr, who was dreadful, but it's also the way that like we've seen Davante Adams have like 2 or 3 target games. Like, what is that nonsense? Davante Adams, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. And yet Josh McDaniels decided, well, we're only going to throw the ball 20 times against the Rams, and the fact that like the first quarter, they put up, I think, 10 points, and then they put up 3 the rest of the way, or sorry, they put up 7 or 6 the rest of the way. Like that to me was like, okay, we need to start moving the ball. It's not as if Davante Adams had a hard time against Jalen Ramsey, because he took him to school on a couple of those catches of the 3 that he had. So that to me is you're not trusting, you know, your best player with the ball in his hands. I know Josh Jacobs had a great day, but they could have mixed in a little bit more Davante Adams and they probably win that game. And dare I say, they're probably still in the playoff race. But nope, Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr just suck.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been such a huge regression for basically everyone on this offense not named Josh Jacobs that I'm not really sure what the answer is. And the unfortunate truth is I honestly would be surprised if Josh McDaniels got fired, not because he doesn't deserve to be fired, but because the Raiders are such a cash-poor team, and they guaranteed so much money to Josh McDaniels over such a long period of time that I'm not even sure the Raiders can afford to fire Josh McDaniels, afford to fire him and pay another head coach, like any sort of money. Even if you do go with an interim head coach for the rest of this season, next season you still have to, I would imagine, hire a new head coach for some degree of cash. And I'm not sure the Raiders can afford it, right? So just I suspect Josh McDaniels starts 2023 as the head coach of the Raiders, but we'll see. But yeah, again, the Rams do come back behind the play of Baker Mayfield to beat the Raiders 17-16 on a very pretty pass to Van Jefferson with about 9 seconds to go. But that's the Thursday night recap. Let's take a quick break, Matt. And when we come back, we'll get to all of the start sits. We'll start with your Buffalo Bills. They are circling the wagons against the New York Jets. We'll talk about all the start sits for Week 14 coming up straight ahead. You're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt, on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you this week 14. Hope you're all doing well as we get set with injury news and notes, start sits for every single game, and of course, your texts on the People's Text Line at 590-590, name and location. We will do those straight ahead in the next segment at the top of the next hour, so get those in. Matt, let's start with our start sits, and we'll start with Jets at Bills. And I wonder how much you are tempering your expectations for Garrett Wilson, because Garrett Wilson has been absolutely ridiculous. He might, like, I know we say, like, oh, this guy could be a league winner. This guy could be a league winner. But honestly, the way Garrett Wilson is used in this offense, and I'm sure, like, to a degree, it's like, you know, the squeaky wheel type of stuff, but he has been phenomenal. Like, he gets a massive target share. He catches the ball in basically every type of route, and he has been great these last couple of weeks. I'm tempering my expectations, however, against the Buffalo Bills. I know the pass defense is not as great as the rest of the defense is, but I don't know. You would still think they're going to go out of their way to stop Garrett Wilson from absolutely wrecking them.
I'm not tempering expectations at all, actually, Show.
Really?
Yeah, he's got 92 yards in four of the last five games. Like you mentioned, the target share is there. The last time he played the Bills, 8 catches for 92 yards, and it wasn't a game that they were chasing. Like, they ended up beating the Bills 20-17. And the only thing that makes me maybe temper my expectations, Show, is the weather. So the crosswinds, as we know, in Buffalo, they can get pretty nasty. Wind gusts of up to 20 miles per hour with light rain or snow. So that does affect a guy like Garrett Wilson. But I don't know. I was looking it up and I was like, okay, I'm really curious to see where Garrett Wilson stands this season in terms of, you know, his positioning in the wide receiver chart. He's wide receiver 18, Show. And for me, when I look at that and I go, okay, he had a big blow up week in week two with 102 yards. But then he went on a cold stretch where he didn't eclipse the 60 yard mark from week three till, I guess it was about week nine. And then he just blew up. And that's that rookie curve, right? That we've talked about a lot on this show. And Garrett Wilson seems to have figured it out playing as a pro. And now he's getting the target share to go along with it. And he's really shown up. I think that Garrett Wilson is a must start every single week, including this week against Buffalo.
Well, I'm definitely not benching him. That's for sure. Because he had 15 targets last week. Like, that's just silly. That's a silly amount.
With the legend Mike White at quarterback.
I know. Mike White himself, I probably am cooling my expectations for him this week against the Buffalo Bills. Like, I have a feeling he's going to throw the ball like a million times. Like, he had 57 pass attempts last week, so I'm sure he's going to throw the ball a lot again this week. But outside of two QB leagues, you probably don't need to start Mike White, I would imagine, a ton. Zonovan Knight, though, again, it's another running back by committee, unfortunately, but because we know Michael Carter, he practiced basically all week, so he's going to come back and be at least a part of this. I would imagine Ty Johnson is also going to be a part of this. And then just outside of whoever you do want to start, the Bills themselves are pretty stingy against opposing running backs. They've allowed the 12th fewest points to the position. So again, like, maybe you have better options, but a lot of teams on bye this week. And I should mention Falcons, Bears, Packers, Colts, Saints, Commanders. So six teams on bye as we get set for the fantasy playoffs. So it's kind of tough, right? Because I'm sure some people might have to start Zonovan Knight, but For me, he's probably no more than a flex play. And then you look at the rest of the guys on the Jets offense, Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, probably also in that flex to wide receiver three range, I would say at best. The Corey Davis, like, maybe is the highest one of the three of those guys, and I still got him as a WR3.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you on that one. And, you know, like, Elijah Moore did disappoint last week after what was a better week 2 weeks ago. But at the end of the day, it's going to be Garrett Wilson. You're probably Corey Davis is in the wide, I agree, back end wide receiver three flex spot. As for the running backs, I think that Zonovan Knight is going to get a big chunk of the early down rushing attempts. But I think in the game where we talk about the weather, I think Michael Carter ends up being the running back that maybe makes the most sense in terms of PPR value as a flex play, just because I think that they're going to use him in those short and intermediate routes, especially because we're not sure what Matt Milano's status is, and there was a chance that he was not going to play. And as one of the better cover linebackers in the league, he gets matched up with running backs a lot. He gets tight ends a lot. So if Matt Milano is out, then I think that is wheels up for Michael Carter.
On the Bills side of things, look, we don't need to really talk too much about Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs. If you are worried about Stephon Diggs against Sauce Gardner, but remember, again, in the first matchup, Diggs had 5 catches for 93 yards on 10 targets. And that was in week 9. So, I mean, look, you're not benching Stephon Diggs, but I'm just saying, in case some people were worried, that's the stats from the last time out, despite the Jets having permitted the 4th fewest points to wide receivers this year. Outside of Diggs, though, Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie, it's your guess is as good as mine, which weeks Gabe Davis is going to absolutely blow up and which weeks he is going to give you a huge dud, right? So for me, just because I know the Jets defense is pretty stout, I'm avoiding the non-Diggs wide receiver this week, right? I mean, you would imagine that some guys other than Diggs have to catch the ball. If that is the case, I'm probably betting more on McKenzie out of the slot than I am Gabe Davis at this point.
So I'm sitting Gabe Davis as well, wherever I can. The last time he played the Jets, I think he had 2 catches for like 13 yards or something like that. It was not a pretty stat line. It hasn't been a pretty year outside of a few boom weeks for Gabe Davis.
Yeah.
The guy that I really like here, and stop me if you've heard this before, show, I really like James Cook here. He's shown up 2 out of the last 3 weeks. He had over 100 all-purpose yards last week, and it does really feel like they figured out how to use him in this offense. And again, the weather being the factor, I think you're going to see a lot of James Cook in those short to intermediate routes. Match him up with a linebacker where he does have an advantage. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think they're going to rotate him out of the backfield. They'll use him in the slot and kind of mix in with Isaiah McKenzie a little bit. But I think that if there was ever a game that James Cook is going to shine, I do believe that it's going to be this week. So I guess what I'm saying is, if I had a flex decision between Gabe Davis and James Cook, I'm going with James Cook.
Yeah, I probably am too, just because, again, the boomer bust nature of Gabe Davis's usage this year is just not super inspiring. I generally speaking, like, they trend a little more conservative when it comes to, do you want to take risks with like guys who are boomer bust? And I tend to not, generally speaking, which is why I don't draft like Mike Williams, for example. But I generally think that, yeah, if I'm probably going to go with James Cook as well. The Jets have allowed the 9th fewest points to running backs this year. But I do think at the same time, to kind of go against that, James Cook's value is, and probably in full or half PPR, a little more than standard, is in the passing game and not so much in just running the ball between the tackles. I mean, he can do that too, but just not quite the same way as, his brother, for example, right? Browns at Bengals. Let's get to that one. Again, for the Browns, you're starting Nick Chubb. I believe Amari Cooper, is he a game time decision? I know he was injured this week. I think he had like a hip pointer or something. There is a chance, I'm not sure how large or small it is, but there is a chance that Amari Cooper does not play. And if that's the case, I would think Donovan Peoples-Jones gets a very nice bump. And you would think that Deshaun Watson himself is going to be less rusty after a truly awful performance in week 13. But I mean, you know, I guess in 2 QB leagues, Deshaun Watson's probably a QB2, I would imagine. And hopefully you have better options until we see more from Watson himself from a fantasy perspective. But I mean, Amari Cooper, I'm not sure what the health status is for him. We'll have to monitor that a little closer to game time, because there is a chance he either does not play at the very least, or I guess that he's just not 100%.
So it sounded like he told reporters that he was going to play, but I mean, we've heard players say that and then they don't because right. something happens in yeah. the pregame warm-up. But it does sound like he is a game time decision. It sounds like David Njoku is going to be back this week. So I think that's where the biggest boost lies for me anyway, if Amari Cooper misses. Were we ever right on Deshaun Watson last week or what? Because that was not a good performance. It might get a little bit better this week, but I'm still not starting him in single QB leagues. For me, it's Nick Chubb. And then, I mean, Kareem Hunt was better with Deshaun Watson at quarterback last week. I'm still not trusting him in any sort of a spot where I need a win this week. And both wide receivers, Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones, are really boom or bust flex plays for me, based on just the quarterback play and with Amari Cooper specifically, the risk of re-aggravating an injury. So I'm not very bullish on this Browns offense at this point. Like, it did roll with Jacoby Brissett a little bit better, only because Jacoby Brissett's played football in the last 2 years and Deshaun Watson barely has. So there's an adjustment period here, but the Bengals defense has been pretty good across the board. So I don't have a lot of faith that Deshaun Watson is going to be the one to break them down with just his second start of the year.
Yeah, that's kind of where I fall on it too. It's pretty much Nick Chubb. And then if possible, no one else, but I guess if you have to start a pass catcher, I guess for me, it's probably David Njoku this week. And otherwise it would be Amari Cooper, but just because he's had that injury, I'm a little wary of needing to start Cooper, even if it is a week 14. And yeah, on the Bengals side of things, you don't need us to tell you to start Joe Burrow. Looks like Joe Mixon is going to be ready to go. He has logged, I think, limited practices basically every day going up to week 13, and he got in a bunch of limited practices this week as well. So I do think he is going to play. It does make you wonder about Samaje Perine, because he's been so good. I guess you can have him as a flex play even if Mixon does go, but it's like the ceiling is so much lower because both of them will play essentially.
Yeah, and I think you can start both of them and be pretty happy with the results. The Browns pretty good against they're definitely good against opposing wide receivers. The thing with the running backs is why P. Ryan has some value is the Browns have just been horrible against the run this year. And, you know, they allow 5.4 catches to running backs per game. And that's kind of been Samaje Perine's sweet spot over the last couple of weeks with Joe Mixon out. Listen, I think that if Joe Mixon is playing, I think this is a blow up week for him. First game back from missing basically two games. And I really like the spot, because the Browns have just been, they've just not been good against the run. The pass defense has been good, but they're not good against the run. So I think you can safely start the usual suspects here. But I think of all of the matchups, I think Joe Burrow is going to have a good day today again.
Hey, as someone who is starting Joe Burrow in a playoff game, I hope you're right. I am definitely crossing my fingers. And, of course, some of his weapons through the air, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. Ja'Marr Chase had 7 catches for 97 yards. No real lingering injury issues, it looked like, in his first game back from the hip injury. So you're obviously starting Ja'Marr Chase. I believe T. Higgins had a hamstring injury crop up, so I'm not actually sure if he is playing or not. But at the same time, if you are relying on T. Higgins, I would potentially temper your expectations for him, because even if he does play, you know, Matt, that maybe of all injuries that are not immediate season enders, hamstring pulls can really linger.
Yeah, they can. And remember what happened the last time that T. Higgins popped up with an injury and he played what, like one snap?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. I don't disagree. T. Higgins is one of those guys, though, if he's playing, you kind of got to play him. It's unfortunate, but now, like, if you're in a spot where you're pretty comfortable in the playoffs, then you probably don't need to start him. Like, if you're in a tie break and you need points, then maybe you sit T. Higgins on the bench and try and get that, you know, the extra points from someone else in that tiebreaker. But if you're somebody that's trying to qualify for the playoffs, I think you have to start T. Higgins. I know that kind of sounds like backwards thinking, but if T. Higgins plays and goes off for, you know, 110 and two touchdowns, you're going to be kicking yourself. If he re-injures the hamstring, there's nothing you can do about it. So if he's playing, you have to play him.
Yeah, like what you're saying essentially is that by not starting, if he's active and you don't start him, you're essentially guessing on what his usage will be. And that's what we did. I mean, that's what we say all the time about like DeAndre Swift, for example, when he was dealing with all the various injuries for most of the season. So yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like I have T. Higgins in a couple of leagues and I think I have to start him, partially because there's no one else, but also partially because T. Higgins is probably on most teams a WR1, and with Ja'Marr Chase to take the heat off of him, he has been very, very good, obviously, as we all know. So yeah, I'm starting T. Higgins, but I'm just tempering expectations as much as mentally, maybe as much as humanly possible. Texans at Cowboys, the next one here. Okay, look, Damian Pierce as like a mid to low end RB2, and that's probably it. Is that fair? Like, I don't know if you really want to dabble with Chris Moore. I suppose if you're like in a very deep league and you're in trouble because of buys or injuries, I guess, but that's about it, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm not like Chris Moore would be the guy that would be the punt play, but I would stay away because, you know, we do get Davis Mills back this week. This feels like, and I know we've said this before about the Eagles defense in that Thursday nighter against the Texans where, yeah, the Eagles defense is going to put up RB1 numbers. Well, the Browns defense did it, and special teams, because they had the punt return touchdown, did it last week against the Texans. I think that the Cowboys defense is absolutely going to put up RB1 numbers against this Texans offense, and I'm not comfortable with anybody. Damian Pierce, I like that you brought him up. Damian Pierce is RB30 over the last 5 weeks. I'm sitting him against the Dallas defense.
Ooh.
That's not even a thought for me. I'm trying to get into the
playoffs. he's the only offensive piece that you really should be worried about if you're a Cowboys fan, and they know it. And then on top of that, the Cowboys have allowed only one 100-yard rusher in the last four games. They've allowed 15 fantasy points per game to the last four lead running backs. So again, like if you're struggling, I guess, yeah, like lower end RB2, but still, it's just like you should not be hinging your fantasy playoff hopes on Damian Pierce. On the Cowboys side of things, I mean, it's the only real question mark is I think we all know who to start on this kind of offense, right? Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Pollard, and Ezekiel Elliott can probably both be started the way the Cowboys have been running the ball. But I think for me, it's Michael Gallup is the question, because again, Dalton Schultz is being started, I think, in most leagues because of the touchdown upside. But beyond him, I mean, Gallup is the only guy I think that I have a question mark. It's not a bad question mark. It's just, can you also start Gallup when you talk about it? Can you start literally every other player on this Dallas offense?
Well, I'm actually, I don't think that Dallas is going to be putting up the same amount of points that they have. They're certainly not going to put up like a 50 spot like they did against the Colts. And the only reason why I say that is the biggest advantage that teams have against the Texans is on the ground. And through the air, the Houston Texans have actually been really good. They are one of the better defenses against opposing wide receivers. And that's why Michael Gallup is a sit for me this week. Like CeeDee Lamb's going to get his. And Michael Gallup does have a little bit of boom or bust to his game, and he kind of always has, but CeeDee Lamb is the consistent target share. Dalton Schultz has been really good with Dak Prescott at quarterback. We know that, but I don't think it's going to be as fruitful of a day for Dak Prescott as well. So that's why I'm kind of downgrading Michael Gallup to a boom or bust flex play. And in most cases, if I have an option, let's say, okay, here's one. If it was James Cook or Michael Gallup, I'm going James Cook.
Yeah, no,
James Cook may be the barometer for us this week just because of the nature of his game.
Right.
But that's how I kind of look at it. I think that Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard are high-end RB2s this week.
Okay, if it was Darius Slayton or Michael Gallup, what do you do?
Oh, okay. I'm going Darius Slayton.
Okay.
Because he's the wide receiver one there, and Philadelphia has given up points in situations during the season where we didn't think that they would. The weather there is not overly great, but yeah, I would think I would still roll with Slayton over Michael Gallup.
Let's squeeze a couple more of these start sits in. Vikings at Lions. And look, whenever you play the Lions defense, you can probably start most of opposing players, right? Like Cousins, Cook, Jefferson, Hawkinson. You're generally speaking, unless you have like a Jalen Hurts, for example, you are probably starting those guys every single week. So I don't think we need to talk too much about them, but apart from those four, it really leaves for the Vikings Adam Thielen and I guess KJ Osborne, but I don't think that's really too much of a factor. Adam Thielen is kind of the question mark for me every single week, just because, yeah, he's a higher end WR3. We know he is still talented. He's a bit touchdown dependent, but when this offense throws the ball a lot, he tends to be the beneficiary because we already know Hawkinson and Jefferson are going to get theirs. So, again, WR3 for me with the upside for a little bit more, I suppose, for Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat here. He went for 661 and one the last time they played Detroit, which was earlier this season. I do expect him to get into the end zone again. But the story here is the TJ Hawkinson revenge game. Oh, yeah. And the reason why it's very interesting to me is because I feel like when the Lions traded TJ Hawkinson, they did not envision that they would be in the same scenario as they are now, which is they're fighting for a playoff spot. I don't think anybody had envisioned that. So I think that TJ Hawkinson is in for a big game. I can't remember the last time. I feel like the last time that these two teams played that Justin Jefferson ended up having a not as good fantasy week because he was going up against Jeff Okuda, because we had spoken about Jeff Okuda as like the next guy that was going to be the shutdown corner and whatever, and it didn't quite turn out that way. Yes, I am correct. The last time they played, Justin Jefferson had 3 catches for 14 yards on 6 targets. So there is something to be said here about this could be the TJ Hawkinson day and not the Justin Jefferson day.
I mean, it's not like you're sitting Justin Jefferson.
Of course not. No, you would be a fool to do that. But what I'm saying is that like we've seen it in a few games since TJ Hawkinson has got to Minnesota where he has been the main beneficiary of a not so good day from Justin Jefferson, more so than Adam Thielen. And I think that TJ Hawkinson has a big, big day today.
For the Lions, Jared Goff, DeAndre Swift, Amon-Ra St. Brown are probably all starts just because of their usage, obviously. Jared Goff, he has been averaging over 20 points per game at home, and this game is at home, so within the inside confines of Ford Field. So I think you can feel okay about starting Goff as a lower-end QB1. He has 17 touchdowns to 3 interceptions in home games, and he has over 34 pass attempts in 6 of those 7 games. So I think for passing wise, I think you can feel okay about that. And we know that DeAndre Swift is a recipient / beneficiary of the passing game when he is healthy, and he certainly looks like he is healthy, so that's great. Amon-Ra St. Brown, WR1 for me. DJ Chark is the guy, right? Because he is a WR3, but he's probably the most, he's one of the hotter waiver wire pickups of the week. Khalif Raymond, Brock Wright, probably not guys you have to start, but DJ Chark, I mean, I know he hasn't finished higher than WR23 this year so far, even when he caught a touchdown, but still, I think the Vikings defense, 3rd most points allowed to wide receivers. You can probably start him this weekend, but again, I would start him with the expectation that you'll get WR3 numbers and you're hoping for more.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. The Vikings, this is going to be a high scoring game show.
Yeah.
Like if I were a betting man, and we both know that I am a betting man, I am probably, yes, those degenerate live in-game World Cup bets that you saw me make. This is going to be a high scoring game. And I will say this about like, I would start Jared Goff if I have him. I think he's in a great spot. Here's the one thing. DeAndre Swift finally outtouched Jamal Williams last week, so he looks like he is healthy. Here's the best part about starting DeAndre Swift today. The Vikings, in the last little bit, have given up 6 catches to Tony Pollard. He had that massive day of over 100 receiving yards Tony Pollard did when he played the Vikings. They gave up 9 catches to Ramondre Stevenson, and they gave up 11 catches combined to Zonovan Knight and Ty Johnson. Hallelujah. DeAndre Swift is going to have a big week.
Let's squeeze one more in here, Matt, real quick, just because I mentioned Darius Slayton. Let's get to the Eagles-Giants game. I honestly think this is probably a pretty simple one because most people are starting most players from the Eagles, right? Like Hurts, Sanders, Brown, and probably Devonta Smith are all being started, maybe to like varying degrees. Like maybe Miles Sanders is a lower end RB1, but probably still an RB1 or like the highest possible RB2 nonetheless. And same probably goes for Devonta Smith, like a middling WR2, but you can still start him certainly. But AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts, you're obviously starting every single week. But it's beyond those guys like the Quez Watkins of the world that I wonder about. But the Giants passing defense is relatively stingy. Having said that, for the Giants on their end, I mean, yes, you can certainly start Daniel Jones if you're in a 2QB league, maybe as a QB2. The only problem is I'm just not sure how his weapons will do today. We mentioned Darius Slayton already. And Saquon Barkley, there is a chance that he just does not play today. He apparently has a neck injury. If he does go, it will probably be a committee situation between Matt Breda and Gary Brightwell. I don't know that I can recommend starting either of those guys if Barkley doesn't go. If Barkley doesn't go, I would imagine every piece of this Giants offense by necessity has to be downgraded because – I mean, Barkley being back there means that they can't only solely defend the pass, right? And if he's not playing and it is Matt Breida, I think I downgrade Darius Slayton and pretty much everyone else.
So it's funny that you mentioned Saquon Barkley because as soon as I saw that, there was a tweet from David Chow, who's pro football doc, who's right. Very good on Twitter. And he said, given no reports of nerve pain, he would have some optimism that Saquon can play through. Here's the one mistake, Sean. You and I talked about this off the air earlier this week. The one mistake that so many people make is, RBX goes down, so that means RBY is absolutely taking the same share. That's not the case. If RBY, in this case it was Matt Breida, was as good as Saquon Barkley, he would be starting somewhere else. So it's not that he's going to get the same workload. Like, he's probably more of the passing down back, and they'll mix him in on earlier downs. But for me, it would be Gary Brightwell on earlier downs, and I'm not starting either of them. How about that? I do think that the weather, a little, again, much like in Buffalo, some light rain, maybe some snow throughout the day, that kind of downgrades Darius Slayton a little bit, but the Eagles, I think, are going to put up points. I think that the Giants are going to have to throw the ball to stay in it. But what I do like about that matchup, if the weather does end up being a little bit slick, I do like Daniel Jones's rushing floor to be a little bit higher as well.
Yeah, I think the state of New York, whether it's the Bills, Jets, or the Giants, probably getting a tail end of whatever we're getting here in Toronto, which is wind and snow. So I would imagine, just generally speaking, if you see that on the weather network or what have you, this maybe you downgrade it a little bit for those players involved. But yeah, that's a quick check of Eagles at Giants. And again, yeah, Darius Slayton, probably a flex play for me. He is, since week 8, he is either led or tied for the team lead in targets every single week. Like, he's obviously the number one guy, but for a team that just doesn't pass the ball a lot, it's probably not, it doesn't really move the needle as much as it would for other teams, but still probably startable as a flex play for Darius Slayton. Let's take a very quick break here, Matt. When we come back on the other side, we will certainly continue our start sits, but more importantly, the people's text line at 590-590, name and location. Send us your fantasy football start sit questions. We will get to as many as possible on the air at the top of the next hour in a couple of minutes. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, the people's text line, straight ahead on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour 2 of The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you this week 14 as we get set for the fantasy playoffs. Or I suppose the games right before the fantasy playoffs. Injury news and notes, start sits for every single game, and of course, your questions on the People's Text Line. Text us your fantasy start sit questions at 590-590, name and location, please. Okay, so Matt, are you here today? Are you with us today?
Present and accounted for.
Okay. Are you ready to do some text, Mr. Marchese?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
I just had to be sure. I had to be sure that you were actually here after the last couple of weeks. But you guys know the drill, 590-590, name and location, please, to the People's Text Line. We'll answer as many as we can right now. And again, if we don't answer your question on the air, you'll still get a reply from us before 1 p.m. Eastern. Let's start with this one. Good morning, boys. Ben from Thornhill, full PPR. Bench one of Deebo Samuel, Mike Williams, Adam Thielen. And he actually says, I'm actually on, this is at 6 o'clock this morning. Okay, this is 3 hours ago. Ben said this. So kudos to you, Ben. But he says, I'm actually on my way to the Vikings-Lions game right now. So I might have to play Adam Thielen no matter what, which I think is, you know what? Like, that is an underrated aspect of playing fantasy players. Like, especially if you're going to see games in person. Like, I think, honestly, I might just bench Mike Williams anyways, just because, I've already said this before, but I'm more conservative when it comes to injuries. And is he going to be 100% despite the lack of an injury designation this week anyways? I'm not so sure. It's a high, even if it is going to be a high scoring game, I wonder. I might lean Mike Williams, but honestly, like, because Ben is at this game, I feel like just for fun's sake, and it's supposed to be fun, I feel like for fun, you might want to start Adam Thielen. Where do you fall on that?
Play fantasy football, they said. It would be fun, they said. I'm going to sit Mike Williams. And the reason is, listen, the last time we saw Mike Williams play, he played like, what was it? Like three snaps, had a catch for 15 yards, then he got hurt, and then that was it. I don't think they're going to be working him back quickly into the lineup here. I think they're going to ease him in, which is why, you know, and we'll talk about it later, I'm probably going to start Josh Palmer this week, but I'm going to sit Mike Williams because I worry about him getting hurt because he does all the time. And I think that Thielen ends up playing in a high scoring game. And I do like the idea of watching a player that is on your team when you're actually at the game. I don't love Deebo Samuel, but I do like him a little bit better than Mike Williams this week.
I think he is healthy at the very least, right? Like, I think Deebo is playing.
Yeah.
I mean, he played last week, but I mean, I think he is healthier this week. Real quick on the Mike Williams thing, and we'll talk about this a little more when we get to Chargers Dolphins, but like, where do you, because we talked about this with T. Higgins, right? Because he's been so good that one, even if he is a little injured with the hamstring, you still have to start him. I guess you don't follow that same train of thought for Williams because he has gotten injured more, I suppose.
Yeah, Mike Williams, the thing is especially the style that he plays, when he goes up for a 50-50 ball, you never know what's going to happen. Because I've seen him land on his back and his shoulder like 1,000 times. It's just that this is his first game back from injury, whereas a player like Deebo, he still played. And he's been in the lineup, even though he's been had injury designations going in. He's at least going to get a higher complement of snaps, whereas I don't think that that's going to be the same for Mike Williams.
Yeah, he is probably fair. That's probably why I'm starting Joshua Palmer this week still. Just even as a lower-end flex, that's probably why I'm going with Palmer. But we'll get to that when we get to Chargers-Dolphins, which is the Sunday nighter tonight. This one is from Eddie and Angus. Good morning, boys. Two must-win this week in what has been a very long year. Two questions. The first is half PPR, tight end, a Knox or a Kongwo? So I guess, I mean, I don't know. Probably not. Neither of those sounds super appealing to me. I'll say that, Matt.
I'm going with a Kongwo in this one. Just, I think he's got the more of a big play potential with the Titans. And I don't think Treylon Burks is playing today. So that adds a little bit more. That adds a little bit more value for me as well. So, and Dawson Knox, just he hasn't been the same player. Obviously, some personal issues that he dealt with before the season started with the passing of his brother, and just his usage has not been very good. I'm going to lean Okonwo.
Titans are playing, the Jaguars. Yeah, I just had to double check that. Yeah, Chigozium Okonwo, I think, is Dawson Knox just hasn't been used like really at all. Like, just he's not a huge part of the game plan for the Buffalo Bills, just in really any way, at least for as far as fantasy goes, right? So I just, I'll probably lean with you that way. And then Eddie's other question for flex, I imagine you're just choosing from one of these guys, but Damian Pierce, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Matt Breida, or James Cook. I can probably guess where you're going with this one.
Show, you know me all too well. I'm going James Cook. It's going to be another big day for James Cook, and I like him over the... There's just too much uncertainty with the other guys. Like, Damian Pierce, like we said, RB30 over the last 5 weeks. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I have no idea what Deshaun Watson's going to be this week, and I don't think Matt Breida gets enough of a workload to warrant any sort of start over James Cook, who's in the much more higher-powered offense, and he's a damn fine football player.
I see one. This one is from FaZe in Peterborough. Full PPR league. He has to start two wide receivers and a flex, and there are four players here. So you're basically just benching one of these four guys. These are good problems to have, I would think, but he's wondering who to sit out of Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen, and C.D. Lamb. That is a fantastic problem to have. I mean, you're probably okay no matter who you start, but boy, I'll put it this way. There's no way I want to bench either Diggs or Brown. I just don't think you can, right? So if that's the case, and that means you're benching one of Keenan Allen or CeeDee Lamb. Oh, man. Where do you lean on this one? I think I'm slightly leaning CeeDee Lamb because of the matchup. The Dolphins' defense is through the air is just not as good. But at the same time, the Texans just stink. So maybe, you never really know, right?
I have a hard time sitting CeeDee Lamb. I know the matchup, and we do a lot of things that are matchup-based. As much as I talked about Mike Williams maybe not playing a full complement of snaps, Mike Williams is still going to play, and that takes away from a guy like Keenan Allen as it does a guy like Josh Palmer, even if it's 40% of the snaps or 50% of the snaps. I'm going CeeDee Lamb here. I think Jalen Petrie from the Texans might be out, one of their rookie corners, so I'm gonna go CeeDee Lamb here.
Look, you're benching CeeDee Lamb.
Sorry, I'm benching Keenan Allen.
Oh, okay.
So you're I'm picking Lamb over Allen.
Over Allen, right.
I
think too, especially because I think FaZe said it was a full PPR league. Even if CeeDee Lamb doesn't score a touchdown today, he's going to see a lot of targets, right? Like, yes. He's going to catch the ball. Even if he ends the day with like 6 to 7 catches for, I don't know, 70 yards and no touchdowns, you're not going to complain about that in a full PPR league, right? I mean, 6 catches and 70 yards, that's what, 13 points? So I think you'll feel pretty good about that if in a full PPR. In a standard league, it might be a little different. But, I mean, even so, it is tough to bench CeeDee Lamb, especially considering where you drafted him. I see one here, let's see, from Chris in Calgary. I hope it is, I was going to say I hope it's less snowy in Calgary than it is in Toronto, but I feel like the chances of that are low. But, hey, I do hope that is the case for our friends in Calgary. Chris says, good morning, guys. First off, thank you to Matt for recommending Geno Smith last week. I do remember his text, actually, Matt. He had asked if he should start Geno or Dak. And it's not as though Dak had a bad game, but Geno Smith had a very good game, right? The guy threw for like 360 something yards, so including the game-winning touchdown to DK Metcalf. So I'm glad he started Geno Smith over Dak Prescott. He says, I'm in a standard league. I'm wondering if I should start Mike Williams, we've discussed a little bit, or Devonta Smith today. That's from Chris in Calgary. Standard league, though.
Here's another win for you, Chris. Devonta Smith over Mike Williams. I love it.
I just feel too, I mean, because I get the question, because it's not as though Devonta Smith is bad by any means, but he also, the usage for him as the second wide receiver in that offense versus the usage for Mike Williams in the second wide receiver in that offense probably is less. But again, the injury for Mike Williams, gosh, that is so hard. It's so hard to parse, because I know they want to start him in what is a big time Sunday night game after that game got flexed a couple weeks ago. But still, I just feel like it's going to be tough for anyone to really 1000% trust Mike Williams after what happened last time.
Yeah, we can't always not trust Mike Williams, because when he does play and he's healthy, he is a very good receiver. But it's the injury, it's the boomer bust nature of his game. Devonta Smith just seems to be more involved in the Eagles offense on a consistent basis. And I just like the way the Eagles offense is rolling right now. And the Chargers offense has just been kind of weird and up and down all season. So that's why I lean Devonta Smith.
Let's squeeze a couple more in here before we get back to the start sits. This one's from Mike in Newmarket. Flex spot, PPR, so I guess full PPR. Michael Carter or Joshua Palmer for his flex spot? That's
a close one. I like Josh Palmer this week. I think that, again, Mike Williams working his way back in. Josh Palmer's still been very productive this season, and he's proven that he's probably better than a wide receiver 3 on most teams. But the fact that he goes up against Keenan Allen and Mike Williams almost every week when they're healthy, that's a big competition for target share. But I do like Josh Palmer this week over Michael Carter.
Well, it's tough too, because Michael Carter is in a bit of a committee, right? Like, if there was even one less guy there, you might feel a little better about it. But unfortunately, there is none, right? So I think you are, I kind of agree with you. I'm also starting Palmer, so I'm in that same boat. Last one here before we take a quick break and go to the start sits. Simon from Richmond Hill. Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill? Actually, he has two. Kirk Cousins or Ryan Tannehill first. So I feel like the matchup is probably better for Cousins. Against the Lions, I'd probably go Cousins here.
Yeah, I'm going with Kirk Cousins as well. I think that to me is, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, like in the games that you don't expect him to do anything, he does, and he's playing the Jags this week. But I can't in good faith start him over Kirk Cousins this week.
Tannehill. Maybe we'll see the return of Tannehill today. We don't know, right? The other half of Simon's question, DJ Chark or Zay Jones. I think Zay Jones did have the chest injury. I believe he is on track to play for the Jags against the Titans. But even so, I mean, they're probably pretty similar options, I would imagine. But I might go Chark versus with the amount of pass attempts we're likely to see today indoors at Ford Field for Jared Goff. I might go Chark over Jones.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go DJ Chark over Jones. And remember, Chark is playing for a contract this season. He's only on a one-year deal in Detroit. He's got to ball out before Jameson Williams comes back because he wants to stay involved. Like, Jameson Williams is back, but I mean back to full health and playing a full complement of snaps. He's still got a few weeks, I think, before that happens. I think he balls out this week again.
That does it for our start sits here on the Fantasy Show. Again, still some time to send us questions on the People's Text line at 590-590, name and location, because I know we didn't get to all the texts. There's still a whole bunch left on the text line, but we will get to all of them in about 45 minutes once we are done for the day. Let's get back to the start sits, though, Matt. We got about 7 games to go for the rest of the show. Ravens at Steelers is the next one here on the list, and this is an interesting one because a couple of injuries have thrust both Tyler Huntley into the starting role for the Ravens. No Lamar Jackson. Probably won't see Lamar Jackson next week either, I would imagine, with the sprained PCL. So Lamar Jackson is on the bench. Tyler Huntley is probably a QB2, I would say, against an okay Steelers defense. But J.K. Dobbins has been activated. He is active today. I don't know how much he's going to play because we know that the Ravens aren't shy about giving full workloads to their running backs, but you know, he played earlier this season. He looked okay in his first start, looked really good in the second start, and then got injured, right? So I wonder about what you might see workload-wise from Dobbins. It's just a mess, right? It's just like they're all probably flex plays, Drake, Dobbins, Edwards, and it's hard to parse out who it's going to be, especially with no Lamar Jackson, because a lot of these guys are probably going to see the ball in a rotating fashion probably.
Yeah, I don't see J.K. Dobbins getting more than 10 touches this week. I think eventually he'll get to over that, and lots of talent there, as we know. But I'm not starting him. The Steelers run defense has been pretty good this year, and that's another reason why it's a stay away for me. And I think it's probably in your best interest. Like, could he have a touchdown or two? Yeah, absolutely he could. But that's not a risk that I'm willing to take, especially if I'm trying to get into the playoffs. I do like Tyler Huntley in this one, and I it's funny because Lamar Jackson's the better quarterback, but I like Mark Andrews a lot more right now with Tyler Huntley because Tyler Huntley looks his way a lot. And we talked about that a little bit on our waiver wire show, just about how much Tyler Huntley likes him. It looks like Lamar Jackson probably not back until at least Christmas Eve. So I downgrade guys like DeMarcus Robinson and Duvernay, but I do believe that they are probably flex plays this week. And maybe I feel like I like DeMarcus Robinson a little bit more than Devin Duvernay because they do use Duvernay as like kind of a gadget guy, whatever. But Robinson is more your prototypical wide receiver. So, and as the wide receiver one in that offense right now, I believe I would go with Robinson if I had to choose over him and Duvernay.
Yeah, look, Duvernay has enjoyed since the beginning of week 4. Okay, we are in week 14. So the beginning of week 4, Devin Duvernay has only had one game in which he either scored a touchdown or exceeded 50 yards of total offense. That's crazy. Like, he's obviously a talented guy, but it's not someone you can start with any degree of confidence in a week-to-week basis just because this is not a team that throws the ball a lot. I mean, they'll have to because this is not 1921. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, we're going to see a lot more of the action go towards the running backs today. And I tend to agree with you. J.K. Dobbins, probably not a start this week. The Ravens are playing the Browns next week. And we know the Browns are a pretty bad rush defense. So if things go well for J.K. Dobbins today, I wouldn't mind starting him next week, but that's a week 15 conversation. On the Steelers side of things, I guess it's really just Najee Harris and I guess George Pickens, perhaps Pat Freiermuth as well as a mid to lower end TE1, but that's probably more due to the fact that, you know, the tight end landscape is just not great, as we all know. Najee Harris, though, I mean, yeah. Middling RB2, I would say. It's just not a lot of options on the Steelers offense make you super confident. Like, they're all kind of like in the two, like the, for Najee Harris, the two, but everyone else is like the three or flex range, I would say, just as a general rule of thumb.
Yeah. So George Pickens has to get more than two targets like he did last week, right? Like that's got to be the case.
I honestly do wonder like it, because he complained about it. I do wonder how much of it is going to be like the squeaky wheel gets the grease type of thing. If it's only for this 1 week, right?
Yeah, exactly. Pat Freiermuth led the team in receiving last week with 76 yards. He only had three catches, though, and they came on five targets. Whereas Deontay Johnson, on the other hand, had 11 targets and turn that into five catches for 60 yards. So I've got Deontay as a flex. I've got Pickens as more of a wide receiver three. You know what, Sho? I want to say that Najee Harris is in that middle pack of the RB2s, but I actually might move him up a little bit higher. He has at least 86 yards rushing in three of the last four games. And in the game he did not reach that number, he left before the first half. It does feel like he's getting healthier despite picking up that injury a couple weeks ago. And I do believe that this was a kind of a hodgepodge offensive line that was put together. And maybe they're starting to figure it out. They're more comfortable with Kenny Pickett as the quarterback. And Najee Harris is getting a little bit more running lanes. Like, Kenny Pickett hasn't been great. Like, last week against an awful Falcons defense, he only accumulated 197 passing yards with one touchdown, and he's not running the ball a whole heck of a lot in terms of getting stuff on the ground. But it's whatever is happening is working for Najee Harris. So I've got him as more of a higher end RB2 because of workload, like 17 carries last week. He also added one catch for 6 yards. And I do think he's a good bet to get into the end zone this week against the Ravens.
Let's continue with the start sits here. Jaguars at Titans. And we talked about Tana Thrill during the People's Text Line questions, but I mean, he doesn't have a lot of guys to throw the ball to, right? We mentioned Okungwu might be a guy who sees an uptick in targets. Maybe this is the week to start Robert Woods, but ultimately speaking, you probably want to be relying on better options than Titans wide receivers with no Treylon Burks. Derrick Henry, pretty much the only guy, right? I mean, he had an abysmal week 13. The Titans just got down early in that game, and because they never really recovered, they had to go away from the run. And when they did run the ball, he got stuffed, right? So I would expect a better result, for Derrick Henry against a much worse team in the Jaguars versus the Philadelphia Eagles. But having said that, he's pretty much the only guy, right? Like, he's the only guy you can really start confidently, I should say, for the Titans. You can definitely start Robert Woods, but I don't know how confident you would be in him.
No, I'm not. If I had to choose between Robert Woods or another Titans wide receiver, I would go with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I think he's got more of the big playability than Robert Woods. I actually don't hate Westbrook-Ikhine this week. I would probably play him as a flex play over Robert Woods. Like I mentioned, the big playability is there. And I think that he ends up having the better day if you needed to start one of the two.
For the Jags, looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to play. He had a foot injury?
A toe injury, apparently.
There you go.
Which can't be that comfortable if you're trying to play quarterback.
No, it's trying to plant your feet and set your feet to throw a ball down the field. Yeah, I can't imagine, but I think he is going to play by all accounts. And if he does play against the Titans defense, that is also missing quite a few guys. I think there's a couple of, not just the offensive pieces, but I think there's a couple of corners and defensive linemen that will be out for Mike Vrabel's Titans today. So I feel okay about starting Trevor Lawrence, even despite the foot injury, toe injury there. Similarly, Travis Etienne, obviously in Dynasty, he's probably an RB1, but in redraft, despite the result from last week, I think he had, what, around 6 points in half PPR. That game just got away from the Jags, like, really early, like, very much, pretty much right away. And I think the Titans' rush defense also is pretty good, even with guys who are out. So I'm thinking maybe a middle RB2 for Etienne, maybe a little higher if you're higher on him specifically. But, like, you can play him. I'm not saying bench Etienne, but you can't be relying on, like, 15 points from Etienne today. If he gets 15 points, great. But if he doesn't, I don't be surprised.
Yeah, this is what I wrote down. This is one of those temper your expectations matchups for Travis Etienne. And I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. The one guy that I do love in this matchup is Christian Kirk. The Titans have given up the most points per game to opposing wide receivers, and they just got torched by A.J. Brown. And I understand that was a revenge game for A.J. Brown last week, but Christian Kirk, I think, is going to have one of those, like, 100 yards, 7 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown weeks, which will absolutely help you in getting to the playoffs if you are, in fact, one of those teams that is vying for a spot.
Let's do one more before we take a quick break. Chiefs at Broncos. And again, look, you can obviously you're starting Patrick Mahomes every week. You're starting Travis Kelce every week, despite the fact that he had 4 of 6 targets caught last week for 56 yards and no TDs. It's his worst game of the year. No one's benching Travis Kelce because of one bad game. So we don't need to talk too much about those guys. But beyond that, I think the Broncos are still a very good defense. And we saw this last week. Obviously, the Chiefs are a much better offense than a Lamar Jackson-less Baltimore Ravens, right? But at the same time, I don't know. Like, I just think that when it comes to the non-Travis Kelce options on the Chiefs, there will probably be someone who breaks out this week. But, I mean, could it be Isaiah Pacheco? Sure. I think the Broncos are pretty strong against the run. They allow the 8th fewest fantasy points to running backs, even though Pacheco runs very violently and he runs with purpose, it feels like, right? So maybe an RB2 for me for Pacheco. But, I mean, Juju, MVS, even Sky Moore, no Kadarius Toney today. So those are your likely receiving options after Travis Kelce. I don't know. Like, none of those really move the needle for me. Do you?
Juju is the guy. I think he's just the better wide receiver of that group. And he would be the guy that I would start just because they use him out of the slot. And he probably sees a lot less of tougher matchups out of that position. Maybe the odd time he gets matched up with a linebacker. So I would much rather start Juju in that spot for the wide receivers. But I do like Isaiah Pacheco, based on workload, is getting into every week starter territory for this offense. And even though it is a tougher matchup, I agree. I would still start him as an RB2 or a flex play and feel pretty comfortable about that.
How comfortable do you feel about starting Latavius Murray this week?
I'm actually quite comfortable starting Latavius Murray. I think he's got a little back end RB2 start in him. The Chiefs are middle of the pack against opposing running backs. And listen, Denver, they're just going to try and control the clock. Like, no Cortland Sutton this week. So I do like Jerry Jeudy, even though Russ sucks. But they do try and control the clock a little bit. So that's where I kind of lean Latavius Murray in this one. They're just going to try and grind out time here. And he's getting like an average of like 15 carries a week. I mean, for a guy that you picked up on waivers and a guy that they use in and around the goal line, if they can actually get there, I'm okay with starting Latavius Murray this week.
Yeah, he had 17 carries last week. He turned it into 47 yards, which is obviously not great, but he also had 4 receptions. So he is used to a certain degree in the run game, in the passing game, because Boone, Mack, they're not really factors, right? Like, they're not really guys who should be rostered, barring, like, unless you have like a deep benches and you're looking for Denver handcuffs at this point of the season. But I don't know that's really like worth keeping, taking up bench space at this point. Yeah, Latavius Murray, probably the best play from the Denver offense today. Jerry Jeudy, Greg Dulcich can be started as well. But I think, again, with them relying on the play of Russell Wilson and the Chiefs defense playing much better as of late, the Chiefs defense, by the way, I like them as a good stash for if they're not already taken in your league, and they probably are, but I like them as a good stash for the rest of the fantasy playoffs to pair with other defenses as spot starts here and there. I like them, but Yeah, Latavius Murray, probably the best possible start today for the Denver Broncos. Let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with some more start sits. And if we have some time, we'll get some more with some more people's text line questions at 590-590 as well. But start sits to wrap up the show, text line questions as well. On the other side of the break, you're listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. To go on the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you as we get set for week 14 across the NFL. Injury news and notes, start sits for every single game, which we'll wrap up here. And of course, your text line questions on the People's text line, 590-590, name and location is where you can reach us. We will do let's see if we can have some time to squeeze in a couple more texts before the show ends, before the top of the hour. And then we will get to all the rest of the texts on the phone with Matt and I after the conclusion of the program. Panthers Seahawks is our next start sit, Matt. And why don't we start with the Seahawks? Because Travis Homer is the biggest play of the week. One of the biggest pickups of the week. And whenever I think of Homer, okay, this is what I think of when it comes to Travis Homer. I know this is not super fantasy football relevant, but at the same time, this is my favorite quote from any Homer.
Kids, you tried your best and you failed miserably. The lesson is never try.
See, that's just how I feel about fantasy football, Matt. That's maybe it is relevant to fantasy football, ultimately.
It's very relevant because we try again every year. And unfortunately, a lot of what fantasy football is luck, even though a lot of people wouldn't like to admit that. But and you would be lucky if Travis Homer has a good day this week. That's what I will say.
Because I believe DJ Dallas and Kenneth Walker are both there. I think there's a 50-50 shot that Walker
I think
plays.
It's less than 50-50 now. It sounds like they're both going to be out. Yeah. So,
and if that's
it looks
the case,
like
then
Travis Homer and Tony Jones Jr. Boy. Yay!
But that's wild stuff, right? I mean, they're both. It probably means that you can consider both Tony Jones Jr. and Travis Homer as flex plays, but. Boy, I mean, the Panthers are also not the greatest, so maybe it won't be super relevant, perhaps. But ultimately speaking, I'm wondering if I wonder how to parse who you start. Ultimately, there is probably a little bit of guesswork. It seems that it could be Travis Homer, but I mean, again, I hope you have better options, honestly.
Yeah, if I had to guess, it would be they split the early down work, but Travis Homer is the guy who gets the edge when it comes to pass catching downs. That would be the way that I kind of break it down, just because we've seen Travis Homer be a decent pass catcher at this level. I think at the end of the day, what this means is that we're going to see a lot of Geno Smith throwing the ball. DK Metcalf is playing today. Tyler Lockett, I believe, has a touchdown in five straight. Because they're going to throw the ball a little bit more, I think that Noah Fant is a sneaky, decent tight end start. And again, that barren tight end landscape that, you know, we can say what we want about how it's gone this year, but there are, you know, like the guys that you may stream, like a Robert Tonyan or a Logan Thomas, those guys are not playing this week. So, you know, Noah Fant could be a guy that you start and maybe he catches a few passes. And what I believe will be a game that Geno Smith throws a lot.
You feel good about Geno today? I know this sounds silly considering he threw for 367 yards last week. And I was very grateful for that as someone who needed a win and a big performance from Geno. But I do wonder with Geno Smith, not if he'll keep it up, but how much of his play was related to having a strong running game, right? Like having, because even Rashad Penny before he went down was playing very well, right? Like he was playing very, very well. He was moving the ball well himself. He gets injured. Kenneth Walker comes in and immediately does the same thing. And I do wonder how much the Panthers defense can key in on the pass if there is no, you know, I'm not saying this to diss Travis Homer or Tony Jones Jr., but if there is no like really dynamic home run threat at running back there. I wonder how much more difficult that'll make, you know, life for Geno Smith today.
While I don't disagree with that statement, because I think a lot of quarterback play is predicated on how good the running back game is, right, throughout the league. But Carolina is just not very good against running backs. So maybe you don't need that big home run threat. Maybe Tony Jones Jr. and Travis Homer will be able to grind out those yards and keep that defense honest, because Carolina hasn't been horrible against opposing quarterbacks. They rank 20th in points per game, and they're middle of the pack, 14th in points per game to opposing wide receivers. So it's not an easy matchup, but it's also a matchup where their run defense is just so bad that it probably doesn't take a high-end running back to keep them honest, I guess is what I'm saying. So I do feel good about Geno because of that.
And, of course, with Geno, that goes with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And I know there was some question marks about DK, but it looks like he will play. And if he does play, and Tyler Lockett as well, you're starting them because they've been pretty good this year, right? I mean, I would say both like higher end WR2s, only because a WR1 performance still means like 15, you know, maybe like 12 to 15 points. And if you're starting DK and Tyler Lockett, I think you're expecting double digits, but maybe not like high end double digits, but still double digits from, you know, your second wide receiver is probably still pretty good. So most people are starting Metcalf and Lockett anyways. On the Panther side of things, like the most reliable option probably is Deonte Foreman. I know he kind of cropped up on the injury report with a foot issue, but I believe now that we are actually on Sunday and not on like a Thursday or Friday, I think he is going to play.
Yeah, Deonte Foreman goes up against the fourth worst defense against opposing running backs, and that's why I think he's a must start. The offense, this is going to sound really weird, the offense does move better with Sam Darnold as the quarterback.
Yeah.
And for a guy like DJ Moore, that's who he's had the most success with over the past two seasons. Listen, he had 4 catches for 103 and a touchdown last week. Seattle's defense is very good against opposing wide receivers, but I still like DJ Moore in this one because, again, in another one of those games that you need to throw the ball to probably stay in it because of the high-powered nature of the Seahawks offense, I do like DJ Moore despite the tough matchup. After that, I don't like anybody.
Yeah, like I'm not going to be gambling a lot of my dollars on DJ Moore props. Let's put it that way. But having said that, I think he is startable as maybe like a WR3 for me. It's kind of where I land on that,
yeah.
Which is unfortunate because you probably drafted DJ Moore to be like, probably WR1, frankly, or maybe like a higher end WR2, but it is what it is here in week 14. And yeah, I think if you have him and you don't have any better options, which is probably likely given injuries and bye weeks this week in particular, yeah, I think you can definitely start DJ Moore as a WR3. Bucks 49ers is our next start sit here. Not a lot of starts for me from the Buccaneers, or high-end starts, I should say. Leonard Fournette looks like he will be giving it a go, so that probably, unfortunately, downgrades both himself and Rashad White. Just generally speaking, even with Godwin and Evans and Brady himself, they're all downgrades for me because, A, the 49ers defense is pretty good, and B, the Bucs offense has just generally struggled overall this entire season.
Yeah, if I had to choose between Evans or Godwin, it would be Godwin.
Like, yeah,
I think Chris Godwin has like 96 targets his last 9 games. For those playing the home game, that's a lot. So I do like Godwin in this one. I do the Fournette White dynamic is interesting because they both catch passes. They're both very adept at doing so. And the weather is going to be a factor in this one. Like, we could see wind gusts of more than 27 miles per hour. Plus, there's going to be a light rain throughout. I think that affects the short passing game because I think they'll just do more of it, especially against that pass rush, which has been really good for the Niners throughout the season. Like, their whole defense has been good, but their pass rush is really good. And the other thing is the run defense has been really good. So I think the short passing game is where they're going to make their hay. So guys like Godwin, guys like Fournette, guys like White are all playable. Mike Evans gets the downgrade for me here because of those wind gusts. Tom Brady's arm isn't what it used to be. And Mike Evans is more of the downfield threat. So I'm downgrading him to more of like a wide receiver with touchdown upside play this week. But I think that both Rashad White and Leonard Fournette are viable as like back end wide are running back twos, high end flex plays.
On the 49ers side of things, obviously most pass catchers probably get a bit of a downgrade with Brock Purdy being the QB instead of Jimmy G, who is out probably for the rest of the year. Like, I guess if the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl, maybe there's a chance he plays, but it seems pretty unlikely. But Brock Purdy being the QB, who, and I hope you're not having to start him even in two QB leagues, probably means better things for guys who take the short passes. I imagine, Matt, that even with Christian McCaffrey back there, and obviously you're starting him, that I bet Deebo Samuel runs the ball a little bit today because, again, they want to put the ball into the hands of their best weapons. And obviously those two guys are Christian McCaffrey, are Deebo Samuel, and, of course, George Kittle. And Brandon Ayuk, I think, does get maybe a little bit of a boost, but we did see him get a bit of a drop-off when the QB change happened. With a week to prepare, I imagine he is still going to be a part of the game plan. I just have him maybe as a higher-end WR3, lower-end WR2, just because I'm just not sure how much they're going to throw the ball today, really.
Well, not only that, we just and how successful they will be when they throw the ball, right? So there's multiple factors here. The weather, throw that in there. Like, this could be the perfect storm of bad for a guy like Brock Purdy, especially going up against the Bucs front seven, which is still pretty good. It's not what it used to be, but it's still pretty good and very viable. And that'll cause problems. Like, I have everyone gets a downgrade here, except for Christian McCaffrey because of the short passing game. I do agree with you on the Deebo thing. I think we see him used a little bit more. Like, maybe they use him on end arounds a little bit more. Yeah. Maybe they use him on bubble screens a little bit more and out of the backfield. So I do agree, but I still would play Brandon Ayuk over Deebo just because, like, Brock Purdy's probably still going to have to throw the ball 25 times. So you figure of those 25, Brandon Ayuk's getting at least 8 targets, right? That's how I kind of look at it. And then George Kittle's probably around the same. And then you mix in a few for Deebo here and then a few everywhere else. That's where I think this offense is going. This game is all predicated, like, Brock Purdy's usage. I don't want to say usage. He's a quarterback, touches the ball all the time. But his passing attempts will absolutely hinge on how good the defense is at stopping the Bucs, because if this is one of, like, this does really feel like a 17-10 game, doesn't it, Sean?
I was gonna say 13-7 with the touchdowns.
That's probably accurate too. Yeah,
like, the only touchdown being scored by the 49ers will be like Jawan Jennings. That's who's scoring that TD. It's not gonna be anyone that helps you in any way, shape, or form. It's gonna be Jawan Jennings for the 49ers and like Cade Otton or like the Otton backup for
Who's that guy? Cole Keefe.
Yes, yeah.
He's like the fullback. Yes,
oh,
that'll
gosh,
be
yeah. That is exactly what I expect to happen today for the Bucs 49ers. Game. Let's go through quickly the last two games, the two primetime games. Dolphins Chargers is a Sunday nighter. I think you don't need us to tell you to start Tua or Tyreek or Jalen Waddle. The question for me is, who do you start between Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson Jr.? It looked promising for Jeff Wilson earlier, and then, I mean, maybe to be fair, the 49ers are a very good defense, as we just discussed, but boy, they're both flex plays for me this week, and I hope you have better starts, because it doesn't feel like the ceiling is super high, even though the Chargers defense just is not that great.
Yeah, and that's where you kind of land on this, because the split last week was basically right down the middle between the two guys. So I think that's going to be much of the same, but I do have them as both being flex plays just because of, you know, like you mentioned, the Chargers defense against the run not been very good. Here's where the big advantage lies. And this is an advantage that the Dolphins have seemingly every week because they throw out Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But no Derwin James here is massive for Miami. And I do think this is going to be a shootout. I do think that you can probably start 5 Miami Dolphins somewhat comfortably in being Tua, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and then both Jeff Wilson Jr. and Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, right? I think the no Derwin James to me screams more that it helps personally Jalen Waddle than it does Tyreek Hill, just because I don't know if Tyreek Hill really needs the help, but I am looking forward to seeing this one. Chargers side of things, yeah, Herbert, Eckler, Keenan Allen, you're probably starting for most people. We had the Mike Williams, Josh Palmer discussion. I think Mike Williams and Palmer are probably both, okay, I'm going to say they're both WR3s just because they'll probably cannibalize each other, because I still think Keenan Allen gets his. But we talked about that a little bit before as well. And yeah, Gerald Everett, you can still start him as maybe a mid-tier TE1 because, again, the landscape for tight ends is just not that great. And Patriots Cards is our last matchup of the week. And a lot of guys missing for the Patriots, including Jacoby Byers. He is officially ruled out. So get him into your IR spots if you haven't done so already. But Ramondre Stevenson basically is the only Patriot I would feel comfortable starting. And that includes the Patriots DST. They've been more reliable in the beginning of the season than as of late. But still, I think, I guess you could start them if you really want to. But I mean, beyond, I would avoid starting the Patriots defense if possible on Monday night. But Stevenson probably is the only other guy you can start from the New England side of things.
Oh, for sure. Like, he's been, talk about one of those league winners that you draft later on. And there was a lot of talk about Ramondre Stevenson. And I feel like we may have talked about this last week, but my point was, like, nobody really thought that Ramondre Stevenson was going to be the pass catching back here. He didn't fit the mold, right? Like, he's a bigger guy, and it was like, how good are his hands? Ramondre Stevenson is having an absolutely incredible season. And this matchup just screams one of those Ramondre Stevenson is going to have, you know, a 10 catch game or an 8 catch game, just because the offense has been horrible. They're not changing the play callers. There's no Jacoby Myers. Like, after that, like, I guess Devontae Parker would be the only other guy that I would have any sort of faith in. But Ramondre Stevenson has 56 catches this season, and he only had 7 in the first 3 weeks of the year. And then he absolutely blew up. Like, his last, his 4 of his last 5 weeks, he has 6 receptions, 9 receptions, 6 receptions, 3 receptions, 7 receptions. And in that time, the minimum target share that he's had is 6 targets.
Yeah.
That's a lot for running backs.
Crazy.
I don't think the Cardinals defense is very good. And I do love Ramondre Stevenson. And just, it's funny because every series you're like, oh, I wonder if they're going to bring in another running back. And like, nope, we're just going to throw Ramondre Stevenson out there again.
There was a point last week against the Bills where the Patriots, they benched Stevenson for like literally 1 carry, and the guy comes in. I don't even know who it was. The guy comes in, he gets tackled for a loss, and you did not see a running back not named Ramondre Stevenson for the rest of the game. Like,
and Ramondre Stevenson fumbled in that game too.
Yeah, you would have thought, I believe, he would have been.
So he fumbled. Yeah, and it's like, oh, Bill's going to sit him down right for a series. Yeah, okay, here, just have a drink of water, Ramondre. You're going back out there.
Yeah, he's been great. For the Patriots, for the Cardinals, a lot of guys out for the Patriots. Like, Isaiah Wynn is out. Jalen Mills, who is a cornerback, he is out as well. Damian Harris also out. So a lot of guys out for the Patriots this weekend. So with no Jalen Mills, I would imagine that you do feel a little more confident about starting a lot of the pass-catching options. I believe Rondale Moore has already been ruled out. So, of course, you're starting Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. You're probably also starting James Conner as a lower-end RB2 just because the Patriots' run defense is pretty good. But at the same time, you look at the pass-catching options and past the usual suspects, I do kind of wonder if Greg Dortch might not be a good start today.
Well, he's thrived when Rondale Moore is, I can't believe I blanked on Rondale Moore. He's thrived when Rondale Moore has been out. He's been super successful, but I really like Hollywood Brown here. I really do. And I know this is going to be one of those where it's like, do I really trust him? But I DeAndre Hopkins, yes, you start with the secondary being banged up a little bit. I do like Hollywood Brown. I am down. I have James Conner the same as you as a back end RB2 because I do believe that the Patriots run defense is still good despite whatever injuries they do have. But man, if the Cardinals don't try and take advantage of that, you know, banged up secondary, then there's going to be a problem here. Bill Belichick has been a wizard in the past defensively, but I just don't see that anymore. So I'm going to downgrade Conner to a back end RB2.
Yeah, I think that's where I land on it too, right? You could not find a bigger difference then going from the Chargers run D to the New England run D, because they are basically diametrically opposed at this point of the season. But that does it for our start sits here on the Fantasy Show. Matt, I hope you, I wish you the best of luck going up against our pal Goldberg. I am completely out of the playoffs in that league. It's been a miserable year in that 14 team league. But in another couple of leagues, I am, it's funny, it's the dichotomy of fantasy football. I'm the number one seed in one. I just made the playoffs in another. I am looking at keepers in another, and you know what I mean? It's just all over the place, right? So I'm in like five or six leagues this year. So it is just a complete, you're cheering against your own players from one league and you're in other leagues, right? So I wish you the best of luck going forward in week 14 and onwards. Again, don't forget the Fantasy Show is on the air next week from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, but on Christmas, the week of Christmas, I suppose, we are on Christmas Eve and not on Christmas Day, despite that being this Sunday. But we wish you the best of luck here. We'll get to all of your texts straight ahead off the air at 590-590. Still some time to send those in to us. But again, you've been listening to the Fantasy Show. Good luck this week, everyone, on the Sportsnet Radio Network.